What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Attention to Detail, the podcast. It's a little solo episode today. It'll be pretty quick, but just something I've been thinking about a little bit more lately as we get into the off season and making some programming for some of my guys. And I'm thinking more and more, and this is something that's kind of been marinating in my mind in the training since for about a year now, but just implementing more top-end speed work with basketball players. And I don't think we do this enough because the game is based around acceleration so much that guys never really get, and girls never really get exposure to sprinting at top speeds. In football they do, in soccer they do, in a ton of sports they do, but basketball is such an acceleration, deceleration based, short kind of interval, start, stop, slow down, based game that we never really get exposure to top end speed. So having guys out on the field a little bit more, maybe getting them to buy cleats or getting them on the track, however we can do this, I want to expose them to it a little bit more. And I'll talk about what some limitations of speed work are, but primarily what we can reap from having our athletes run at top end speed. Or if you are a hooper, getting yourself to where you're running your max velocity, how it can help you. So let's jump into it. So first, in terms of limitations, again, like I mentioned, it's not specific, quote unquote specific, because most players generally don't sprint for that long of a distance in a game. When we're moving, it's in a very choppy manner almost. Like, we take a couple steps and we slow down. We speed back up, then we come to a full stop, then slow down, back up, move a little bit to the side, forward, back. Everything's very multi-directional, start, stop, and we never really get into that top speed because most athletes take upwards of 40 to 50 meters to reach that top speed and really get their engine going. And even an NBA court is, 94 feet, so pretty much 30 meters, even a little bit less. So we don't really have the chance to reach that top end speed. And for that reason, it's not specific. So you won't see us getting to this same speed that we'll get to with 50, 60 meter sprints. But with that being said, I do think there are a ton of advantages outside of this direct specificity or transfer that we have to consider. And number one being that I see sprinting as more of an exercise than something that we do to directly transfer. So it's not something that we're practicing, like a skill. It is a skill, and we'll talk about that. But it's not something that we're hoping for it to directly transfer, but rather something that we're using to improve at other things that we do on the court. So, I mean, once we get good at sprinting, you're not going to get the same output from your central nervous system from pretty much anything else. I mean, we're getting 4 to 5 times our body weight every stride in force on each leg. So on each single leg, 4 to 5 times our body weight. So if you're 200 pounds, you're getting up to 1,000 pounds of force on that single leg. Not only that, but it's being done in between 0.1 and 0.2 seconds, depending on how elite you are, how good you are at sprinting, and how, where your ankle stiffness is. But that's crazy to consider. I don't think any plyometric exercise other than sprinting is going to get us this amount of output in this short of a time frame. So I've heard other people say it. I like to say it. Sprinting is probably the best plyo we can get. We just don't do it enough as hoopers and as trainers because most basketball players aren't good enough at it, which makes sense. You know, I can't shame anyone for it, but that's kind of what I've been thinking more towards, is getting players good at it so we can attack this great plyometric exercise with full intensity. It also has huge benefits for motor control. So there are a lot of qualities that we want to target in sprinting. Ankle stiffness, probably first and foremost, in terms of how I see it. Like I said, we're getting a ton of force transmitted through that ankle in an extremely short time frame. And this is really what we're attacking with any plyo. So the ankle stiffness, unmatched in sprinting, especially, again, like I said, it is a skill. So once we get good at it, pelvic control is huge. So sprinting, or at least doing it well, really requires being able to control your pelvis, not letting it slip into too much of an anterior tilt or a posterior tilt. And this is something that holds true also in acceleration, being able to control our pelvis very finely, and doing it under load, such as sprinting, is really a skill and a quality that we want to attack. I could go into more detail, but if you get good at sprinting and you do it a lot, you're going to be able to control your pelvis better, and I think that will transfer to a lot of movements that we actually do on the court. Number three, we have a ton of coordination benefits. I'll talk about this in a few minutes, but being able to synchronize everything perfectly so that we don't have over exaggerated backside mechanics, our arm swing and our knee drive are perfectly lined up. There's a ton of timing qualities that go into sprinting, and the better we get at this, again, this has transfer to movements that we do on the court, and being able to coordinate our body parts essentially to move in the most efficient way possible. So that's number three. Number four is relaxation. So the best sprinters you'll see are not tense all the time. They don't have their shoulders tensed up, their jaw isn't clenched. They're very relaxed, other than their muscles that need to be contracting. And this is something that when you put a hooper on the field, you'll see that they're really trying to muscle their way through it. Not because they don't have the elasticity most times, but more so because this is a skill that requires a ton of relaxation, quickly turning our muscles on and off. And many hoopers don't have this ability, especially when we're at top speed exerting ourselves at this level. And this is something that I'll talk about in another podcast, but I truly believe relaxation, which in other words, we know being able to contract your muscles is a big part of moving, obviously. But being able to relax them and let other muscles work, or let gravity do its thing, I think that is almost more important than contracting muscles at times. So you'll get a huge benefit here. And the last benefit I would say is being able to brace our core and do it at very high speeds. I would say that sprinting is quite literally one of the best core exercises you can do, because without that stability through that core, through that midsection, it's tough for everything else to build off of it. Again, it's like the old kind of cliche saying, you can't shoot a cannon out of a canoe. So you have to have that very strong proximal base of your midsection, and then everything will work off of that. So sprinting is actually a fantastic core exercise. On top of that, learning pretty much any new skill challenges our ability to learn new things. So learning is actually a skill in itself, and we have to practice this. It sounds funny, it's almost weird to say, because we're literally practicing how to practice, or learning how to learn. So I use language as a comparison here a lot, right? It's actually been proven that if you learn, say, a second language, that third language is going to come easier, because now we know how to learn another language, right? That learning is a skill. So we get better at that skill through learning, and in the long run, learn better. Again, it sounds crazy to say, but it's something that holds true as well on the motor side of things. So the more weird stuff that we learn, the better we get at learning weird moves, or doing something in a game that may feel weird, and adapting. And we might as well get good at this skill of learning through learning something that we're meant to do as humans, and that's sprinting. Sprinting really isn't that difficult to learn at the end of the day. Yes, it takes a ton of time and practice to become really technically perfect at it, but at the end of the day, it's ingrained into who we are as humans. It's a very primal motor pattern. So I believe this is probably the best way to, or one of the best ways to get better at that skill of learning, is to learn something that we're meant to know as humans. I really believe that all humans should know how to sprint top speed, at least serviceably. And where I was at with my sprint mechanics, you know, 2 years ago, and especially when I was playing, and where a lot of young hoopers and shit, even old hoopers, are with their sprint mechanics, you look at that and be like, yo, this guy has never sprinted top speed before. And I think that's just something that every athlete should know how to do. And then kind of getting back to the specificity, I did say earlier that it is not the most specific movement because we're never really reaching that top velocity in a game, just because the court's not long enough. But we can reach very high speeds. If you think about going coast to coast, you're reaching a pretty damn high speed. Or if you're LeBron on that chase down block against Andre Iguodala, like, you're probably reaching 90% of your top speed, and you're getting into those kind of upright sprint mechanics. You're not really accelerating and leaning out anymore. You're into those upright mechanics. And these are things that we have to train for. We may only get them once or twice a game if we're, you know, sprinting to get a chase down block or going coast to coast. We may only reach these speeds once or twice a game. But at the same time, we're kind of meant to train for big plays too, right? Like, yes, the majority of our training should be things that we do often. But at the same time, we're meant and we should be training for qualities that can allow us to make these big plays and have this breakaway speed, quote unquote, or that kind of fantastic ability that LeBron has to run someone down from the other baseline and beat them to the opposite bucket. And if you look at LeBron, I think his sprint mechanics are pretty damn good. I don't know if he's ever practiced it, but it's something that comes natural to people, and that probably allows him to reach those high speeds at, you know, 90% of your max velocity without getting hurt. So I think that is something that we have to consider. We can train to make big plays sometimes. And then lastly is just the concept of speed reserve. So acceleration and top speed, if you look at them in terms of like the research, they're not that well correlated. So you can be very fast at top speed, but pretty shitty at accelerating, or you could be really good at accelerating, but be pretty mediocre at that top speed. But if we can reach, and this is a random number, 70% of our top speed in 15 feet on the way to the bucket, that 70% is going to be a higher number in miles per hour if our top speed is higher in miles per hour. All right, so I'll put it this way. Let's say you start a business with one of your friends and you get 40% of the profit from the business. If you're not making much profit overall as a business, you're not going to get much money from that. Now, you stay at 40%, but that profit grows, the company becomes huge. Now that 40% grows because it's the same amount of a bigger hole, right? So if our top speed increases, that 70% that we can reach in that short time will also likely increase as well. Hopefully I explained that well enough. Now, a few considerations. Number one being, it does take time, a lot of time and effort to develop the proper sprint mechanics, especially if you're starting from scratch, essentially. And we don't want to jump into running 40-yard flies at full speed with pretty bad form, because it's almost like jumping into back squatting or deadlifting 90% of your max or 100% of your max, and you've never really done it before, and you have awful form, and you get hurt. We don't want that at all. So we do have to be aware of some ways to attack sprint form, which has some implications for performance coaches, strength coaches. I think all of us should be able to educate ourselves on speed mechanics, or at least the basics of it. We don't need to be experts, because there are people whose life work and their specialty is sprint mechanics. And to get that good, we would need to sacrifice a ton of time that we could spend doing other things. So definitely know the basics of it. for these hoopers, we don't have to get them running with technical perfection of an Olympic sprinter, obviously. But if we can get them to a point where they're not going to get injured sprinting, but we can get that benefit from doing the exercise correctly and their sprint form is solid enough, I think we can reap a ton of benefits from this. So how I'm going to implement it this offseason with some of my players is the first month we'll spend one day a week going over sprint form. So I'll kind of track how they're progressing in that. May start running kind of some 10-yard flies at like 70-80% early in that month to kind of gauge where they're at, see if they're improving in terms of their form, and then build up. And by, I would say, the third month, I want to be running 20-yard flies at almost max intensity, if not max intensity. So I'm going to probably measure them at the beginning of the off season, so in this next week or two. And then 3 months later, 4 months later, I'll measure them again and see how it goes and then see if I notice any benefits anywhere else. So it's kind of an ongoing experiment for me. I personally have been implementing a lot more sprinting in my training. And I honestly haven't been jumping off 1 foot at all. I'm pretty much a 2 foot jumper now. But I think sprinting 2 days a week has kind of maintained my ability to jump off of 1 foot. Because at the end of the day, if you're able to sprint quickly and deal with so much force in such a small window of time, and do it efficiently and it looks good and you do it a lot, I think you're going to get pretty good at being able to do a similar movement pattern in 1 foot jumping. Obviously, it takes more practice, but those similar physical motor qualities will be there. So we'll see how everything goes. I'll probably make another episode, hopefully, the end of the 4 months to see how everything went. And I'll keep everyone updated as well on social media if there's anything crazy that comes out of it. But it's something that I definitely have seen guys doing, more and more other trainers that I respect. So something I wanted to implement, and yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Always feel free to reach out to me, DM me, email me, however you want to hit me up. Find me and give me topics or ask me questions that I can talk about here, because or even guests, you know, throw out ideas for other trainers, players, sports psychologists, nutritionists, whoever you want it to be, I will be glad to reach out to them, help get them on here, or talk about some questions that you guys want answered. And like I always say, most of my topics actually come from you guys anyway. So definitely keep engaging. I thank you guys so much for making it this far. I know I rambled a little bit, but hope you guys enjoyed. Stay tuned.